And welcome back to Research Gang. Today, I'll be discussing the Phantom Menace.
I've encountered a Vergence in the Force.
The droid army is about to attack the Naboo.
But something else binds. And there's something about this boy.
At last we will reveal ourselves to the Jedi. At last we will have revenge.
Phantom Menace is a sci-fi action film from 1989. It is written and directed by George Lucas. It has stars Liam Neeson, Ewan McGregor, Natalie Portman, Jake Lloyd, Ahmed Best, Ian McDermott, Anthony Daniels, Ken Baker, Pamelia August, and Frank Oz. And it is the start of the prequel trinity of the Star Wars movies. And like it, the film kind of focuses in on this trade dispute between the planet Naboo and this company or this group or something called the Trade Federation. And the Revelation, it got so big and so powerful and so stuff that it got a seat at the table in the Senate. They have a vote on the policies and the politics and whatnot, which is, that is kind of happening in the real world, where there are members of government who also serve on the board of different companies, and we are supposed to ignore that they are working both in politics and also in the best interests of their company, which is it's kind of like, I think that George Lucas was a bit prescient in this regard. As I kind of mentioned, like how the people in politics now have ties and allegiances that are not in the best interest of people, but in the best interest of corporations, which generally don't have a face. But again, like this is Star Wars, and the bad guys are the face of a company, or dealing in this context is the Trade Federation, which are. Which is a form of a stereotype of like a sleazy businessman stereotype, and we also have Watto, who appears later in the film as the owner of Anakin Skywalker, who grows up and becomes Darth Vader and is the father to Luke and Leia. It was like, wow. We hate Watto because he owns people, and we also hate him because he doesn't want to help our heroes unless they give him money. They do have money, but it's not the kind of money he wants, which is, a stereotype, a Jewish stereotype. I'm not fully sure if that was intentional or not, but then again, it's there. You can infer from the actions that the characters do and make and stuff like that. One of the kind of things I kind of have mentioned is that it's been 25 years, and I saw it when it first came back. Came out in 1999, and then for its 25th anniversary, it got released to the cinema in my town, I'm not fully sure if it came out to every single one, but at least in my town, at my cinema, it got re-released, and it wasn't the only film that got re-released, because it was 25 years. I get a chance to see the Phantom Menace on the big screen. After 25 years, most of the effects in this movie hold up. The droids still look cool, and the tanks look like they were there, or at least a model of them. Most of the aliens that aren't the practical fans, you can actually see them, or at least know that, they're there, or some version of it is there for the people to play against. The effects for Jar Jar Binks, they were very obvious in many of the scenes he was in, and he's one of the main characters, and he was sort of introduced there as something for us, the children, to see, because I was kind of the right age, or at least of that generation of, this thing would appeal to me. I was close in age to Anakin. And so, seeing this giant, tall, colorful thing, it's there to amuse me. But then, it's been 25 years, and this effect didn't really age well. Some of the times, it kind of a bit took me out of the movie. And, some of the Gungan designs and stuff like that weren't holding up, but they were not as glaring as Jar Jar Binks is. And so, why didn't they spend the same time and effort that they did with the rest, from the droids to the weapons and ships and all that? But still, this is the fun experience, and I definitely Kind of realize that during the pod racer scene, there was no obvious Star Wars music being played. But however, you could actually hear the pod racers, from their engines to those little flaps they have, to those little beams in between, I read or saw somewhere about like how the decision to not have the music playing during this race was to show that do we know how to edit a race, and here is our proof of concept. These cars, well, they're stand-ins for cars. And as you, can like hear and see the differences between each ones. Some of them are tiny, like Anakin's, versus giant, like Boba's. And you can actually see and semi-feel the racers and how they would like fall apart upon a crash. And that's kind of part of the reason why I went and played the pod racer game. It was because of the scene, and like you probably didn't notice back then that it was them using the actual sounds of the race versus mixing the race and the music. And when I was a kid, I totally didn't even realize that Natalie Portman was the queen, but also not the queen. And definitely was distracted in the knowledge of who is the actual queen. And now since I'm older and know more about the world and stuff, that is definitely a very good move of like actually having girls dash teens dash being ladies who look mostly the same. And since Padme, for the very large part, is wearing all of this makeup and all of these really weird and random and white type of like hairdos and like clothing choices and stuff, have her switch with one of her handmaidens, and one of her maidens is Keira Knightley from Pirates of the Caribbean movies, which is like, I guess I didn't realize that this Star Wars had a lot more well-known people and stuff that, some of them may not have been big names, but then they became much bigger names, like, after the fact, not before. I mean, Liam was big name in Get, but however, I haven't seen his early work until after the prequels were all done, and he's a good fit. It was a bit similar with Ewan McGregor. Star Wars was the first movie I saw him in, but then he did all these other more smaller, more intimate British and Scottish and Irish roles back in the day. And now he got more popular, more well known because of the Star Wars. Same or similar with Samuel Jackson. I knew of him because of Star Wars, and then was like, oh wow, like this guy has done a lot of varied movies and roles and whatnot. And like, you know, like definitely a big name and a big get for the Star Wars. And you know, like it wasn't a full on guarantee that the Phantom Menace will be a hit of any kind, because Return of the Jedi was like 10, 15, like almost 20 years beforehand. And so like, I mean, sure, you would have the kids who saw the original Star Wars, and now they're in their 20s or their 30s and are parents. And so, hey, I think that's probably part of the reason why, like, Lucas came up with a movie when he did, because, like, as I mentioned, it was like 15, 18, 20 years since the last Star Wars movie, and and there was definitely a fandom there, because there's like games and books, well, and some TV, some TV shows that aired for like a season or two, which one of these days I probably will be talking about those movies and TV and books, but well, like books not so much, because like I looked at the Star books, and like it's a lot, like hundreds of them. And actually, now because of the Disney, like hundreds of these books are now the legends or not canon, and that some of these books are canon, because they were as approved after Disney bought Star Wars and said, yes, please make the books, please make the games, please make the stuff. Games and the TV and books that were like they were in the process of being made and released when the Star Wars was bought. And I probably should table my thoughts about that until that type of episode, but like seeing The Phantom Menace like in the theaters after like decades, and like I didn't see it in the like in the first days that it got released to the cinema, but much much closer to the last days before it was pulled out again. So the crowd was like very 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 small. Like me and like two other people were there, a father and his son. I'm fully assuming that the dad was a bit closer to my age or a bit older, and he saw the movie like me during its initial release, and now he's bringing his children to see the Star Wars, And like, you know, which if and when I have my own kids, I would like, and there's a chance for opportunity to see a film like Star Wars or like other childhood classics on the big screen, I probably would take it and be like, okay, yeah, like, son, this is the this is the stuff I saw as a kid. This is the stuff I liked as a kid, and then like kind of gauge on, do they like it? Won't they like it? Like the something along those lines, but still like I. I'm not fully sure if it will be staying in theaters anymore, but like if it, it still is, see it. Like I liked it. I thought, yeah, most of the facts held up 25 years later. The story has some big question marks in it, but but then again, from what kind of heard and seen, like Lucas had close to or 100% control of the story he was telling in the Star Wars, well, in the prequels, versus versus a large collaborative team that he had during the sort of New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and like Return of the Jedi, which again, like people will be like, hey, like this is like the like bad because of these plot holes. Okay, sure, I would agree with you up to agree with those plot holes, but then again, did you have fun? Yes, I had fun watching the Star Wars I was on VHS. I had fun watching the Star Wars on the big screen. So back in the, we are back in the '90s, and again right now, doing a release for a 25th edition, and like, and probably this, this is one of those few films, or maybe it's a genre film, where where the bigger the screen will like kind of help you with. Like being pulled into the story of like Star Wars or others, but okay, but I mean like Star Trek is it's a bit of a different story, which again I'll probably have to do a episode or something about that, but like I mean, most part sci-fi for the big screen. Action movies, maybe also on also on big screen, like but like other movies, like I maybe not. Fan I'll probably give it a nostalgic rating of 4.5 out of 5, and so actually. The more recent, more like more modern rewatching on the huge screen, like I'll say like a 3.75, like almost a 4. Like I'm again for mentioning the reasons of the facts were largely good, the cast was good, the music was like wow. And yeah, and we're definitely like it was, yeah, like would recommend to have seen it on the big screen if and when you have the opportunity for it. If you guys have any thoughts about it, please don't hesitate to email it to nostalgic_gamer@hotmail.com, Twitter @RGVpodcast, again, nostalgic_gamer@hotmail.com, Twitter @RGV_podcast_lower, and this is the host signing off.